On the news line with us now is Heather Young. She is a psychiatric nurse practitioner at UPMC Behavior Health Services in Williamsport. So good morning, Heather. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yep, good morning. I'm happy to be here.
I really do appreciate it. I think there's so much to talk about. We're in year two of this whole thing. And, well, some mental health professionals said that, you know, after a year or so, things might get back to normal and we'd kind of wind down, or we would just get so used to it, the new normal would be somehow tolerable. But I'm not sure that we ever got there. So let's dig in here. How busy have you been during the pandemic and lately with people saying that, you know, I would like to talk about my mental health at the moment?
Quite honestly, I feel like my patient load has almost doubled over the past couple of years with the pandemic, for so many different reasons. Just a lot of people being home and not being out as much without work and kind of having more things to stew about, and just different underlying mental health disorders that have always really been there getting worse because of all the variables that the pandemic has created.
We're familiar with the behavioral health services at UPMC. Explain how a psychiatric nurse practitioner practices and works with patients.
We do a little bit different than the counselors. Our background is we have nursing as a first degree, and then we go back to school to specialize as a nurse practitioner just in mental health. So kind of our role is similar to that of a psychiatrist, where we diagnose psychiatric disorders and we treat as far as with medications to really be able to help in that aspect. And we do a little bit of counseling here and there, but more realm is the biological aspect of mental health and really trying to get more, broaden mental health by helping out the doctors. So we kind of add on to the team that way.
Now, you've seen the influx in patients. You mentioned that. What are folks telling us? What is the predominant feeling or situation, I guess it would be really the better description, on what you're hearing from patients?
I think the number one thing that's come across is really just feeling overwhelmed. And on top of feeling overwhelmed, there is still a lot of fear about COVID itself and contracting COVID, and then all of the things that would come with that, such as financial concerns, not working during the pandemic, and then having those financial concerns on top of that. In addition to things like single moms being home and trying to find health care for their or child care for their kids and trying to navigate those things, it just seems like it doubled the stress load for everyone. There's just a lot of stuff on top of a lot of stuff that we normally, it's already there, but predominantly the pandemic has almost doubled or tripled those stressors for people.
In what way are people beating themselves up about it? The fact that they may be all wound up and, you know, may not have control over some of the things that they had hoped to. In what way are they saying, you know, what's wrong with me or what's wrong with us?
Yeah, I think one of the things that people are really questioning are just really how to categorize each stressor, and then not so much blaming themselves for everything all at once, because there's just too many things to organize in their brain, I think, and then the overwhelming feeling of that, regardless if it's their fault or if they have they have actual control over those variables. I think they still take that and internalize it and feel like they need to be doing more, and honestly there's really not a lot they can do. So I think it's more so focusing on what we can control during the pandemic rather than taking it internalizing. So really what can we do is doing things such as making sure we still have a good environment in the house if you're stuck in the house, and a good routine outside of that, and just kind of looking at all the variables and figuring out what we can control ourselves, and the rest of it really learning how to navigate to let those stressors go, and doing the best we can with those things.
I learned a lot.
I think that might have answered your question.
Yep, I think so. And I think sometimes people cycle. What's your reaction to that? They kind of get stuck on things, you know, thinking about maybe what they are doing or maybe what they're not doing. It kind of seems like a recurring theme.
Yeah, that's a huge thing, just in psychiatry in general. If people ruminate on something, and it's a vicious thoughts in their head where they can't even sleep from it because they just get something stuck and spiral around the same concept over and over again. And there's really the really best way, I'd say, for people to kind of help with that is learning things like meditation, learning. Sometimes we tell people that when they get a thought stuck in their head or something that they know they don't have control over but they still can't stop thinking about it, I would say to close your eyes and visualize actually like a stop sign, and then putting up your hand like you're telling that thought to stop and already having something in mind that you want to think about instead, like something more pleasant. Just using like your vision, your actual hand gestures, and then trying to recreate a different thought. Those things alone with all the different sensory help your brain to relearn different thought patterns. Our brain almost acts like, I always say it's like a mud truck. If you get stuck in a path of the same thought process, your brain starts thinking that way over and over again, and it creates a thicker pathway. So like a mud truck going in the same path over and over again, it's very hard to retrain your brain to go out of that path. But with doing those things over and over again, as far as using sensory with the stop sign and things like that, you can actually retrain your brain to think differently, to not get stuck in those patterns.
Well, it just seems like our brains are lazy. You know, it is so
our
much.
Our brains can be lazy. Absolutely, they can.
Well, it seems like it's so much easier to ruminate on the ice storm that was coming than it is to think about, okay, well, I'll make sure there's salt on the front porch and go to work half an hour early and do all these things. It's easier just to stew in fear, and I kind of catch myself doing that sometimes where I say, oh, wait, Mark, stop. What are you doing thinking about this being so normal? Just try to think about it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I always say, tell people too, it's easier said than done. I mean, just because it's something you know that you need to be doing. Anxiety is a real thing too. It's easier said than done to actually do those things.
Well, that leads me to my next question. What about New Year's resolutions? It seems like we're lazy when it comes to those too. You know, we might set some good plans or some good goals, but it's like an old path in the woods. Next thing you know, you're back on the path.
Yeah, that was interesting. New Year's resolutions, I even patients will bring me up New Year's resolutions to me of all these goals they have in mind for the year. And I think my best thoughts on that are when we have those resolutions, people often think about all of the things they want to do or have this huge picture of how they're going to change. And really, resolutions that we think about are really habits or patterns that we have to make. And that's, a really hard thing. Our brain doesn't like to make those patterns, especially if we feel overwhelmed about them. So it's always, I always tell people, get little goals in mind of how you want to start to incorporate that in your routine, and then also sit down and think about what are the things that might make it hard to accomplish that, and only make little steps towards those things, not kind of looking at the huge picture. So like weight loss, for example, is maybe starting this month, I'm just going to start eating more fruit. Like I'm going to eat a piece of fruit a day instead of I want to lose all this weight. It's just, I feel like it's overwhelmed, and then people lose track of the goal and then just give up.
I like that idea. Think about what it is that might be an impediment to, you know, maybe breaking a bad habit, incorporating one small thing rather than saying, okay, I'm going to get down to my fight and weight and get back in shape and run 20 miles. Why don't I just, I like that idea, add the fruit and maybe eliminate a cookie from the routine and we'll go from there. Yeah, start small. Well, I think some people today might be affected by seasonal affective disorder. I know I personally feel like sort of a lack of ambition. I like to say that my recliner has Velcro on it on the weekend, but it holds me down in the chair. But tell me about this idea that we kind of lack energy or ambition.
Yeah, definitely seasonal affective disorder is huge. There's lots of reasons for us lacking our ambition and things. Generally, and this is just kind of from my perspective, and I always look at it from what I experience every day, is there's a lot of things with depression and anxiety today, and that's where kind of my head gets stuck with lacking ambition. Seriously, like looking for other signs of maybe just being depressed, like is it just motivation is down, or do we feel like our mood's dropping at the same time? Where is our energy levels? Are we sleeping enough? There's just little things, even like just eating, and if you're not eating three meals a day, you don't feel good. If there's some disruption in your sleep, you might lack the ambition to do things the next day. So I'd say, like, from my perspective, it's really looking at, is there other signs of depression? Or is it truly, like you said, our brains are sometimes lazy? So I think there's a lot of reasons for lacking ambition. But just giving yourself, like I said before, getting too overwhelmed with a goal rather than just sticking to something small and making giving us ourselves rewards for even small steps to getting where we want to be.
Well, thank you so much. We are out of time. I want to talk to you again in the months ahead about our division in social media and why we like to accentuate our divisions. We'll save that for our next conversation. And I thank Tyler Wagner for connecting us up today. We really appreciate it. But tell him we're going to get back together and finish this conversation. Heather, thank you so much for all the information and your help, and thanks for all you're doing up there.
No problem. I appreciate being on the show today.
Thank you. That is Heather Young. She's a psychiatric nurse practitioner from UPMC Behavior Health Services in Williamsport. As we mentioned, we'll talk to her again in a few months and talk about some of these divisions that have popped up. Why we relish a division is one of the questions she's ready to answer. So we'll talk to her in the months ahead on WDKOK Sunrise.